This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Is it strange I call you? Or do you think that I might forget all my love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the priest, the pom, and the poof on the Spirit Lounge, a show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. A special thanks to the Roundup. Great work, guys. And on tonight's show, we've got a special guest. We're having an in-depth discussion with Kenneth about his faith and spirituality in the Soka Gahai Buddhist community.
Sounds great. And we're one down tonight though, aren't we? Because we're only the pom, the poof and the panelist, and we've lost the priest.
That's true, yes.
And the priest is hello Joy, if you're listening, darling, and she's doing a fantastic job because one of her day jobs is also working for the SES, and she has taken and she's taken her SES team up to the cyclone stricken state of Queensland to try and help the SES team there, who I think are getting pretty tired. So hi Joy, if you're listening, we miss you. We'll hear you and see you next Monday. The Spirit Spa tonight, we're talking about Feng Shui, or it should be pronounced Feng Shui.
Great. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a jam-packed show. If you would like to join in on our conversation, it would be great. Just text us 0427 JOY949, or you can give us a call 1300 JOY949, or if you want to email as well, we're onair@joy.org.au.
I am the one-winged bird. You are with the Pom, the Puff, and the panelists tonight on the Spirit Spa, the Spirit Lounge. We're coming to the Spirit Spa later. Lounge.
We haven't entered into the spa.
No, we haven't gone to the spa. We've still got our clothes on. And we're missing the priest because she's up helping all those people in Queensland who obviously have suffered a little bit from the cyclone. We are very chuffed to welcome Kenneth Saw tonight. Kenneth is from the Soka Gakkai International, which is a worldwide network of lay Buddhists dedicated to a common vision of a better world through the empowerment of the individual and the promotion through social engagement of peace, culture and education. It currently consists of 84 constituent organizations and has 12 million members in 192 countries and territories worldwide. The SGI was founded on January 26, 1975, but the movement has its roots in 1930s Japan and the struggle against the thought control of the Japanese militarist government of the time. The Buddhism practiced by SGI members is based on the teachings of the 13th century Japanese priest Nichiren and his interpretation of the Lotus Sutra. I hope that introduction was good enough, Ken.
That was great, yes. Very thorough.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Spirit Lounge. Hope you're comfortable, loungy, slippers.
Comfortable on our couch.
With a smoking jacket.
Yes, yes. I guess just let's find out a little bit about you to start off. What sort of hobbies do you have? What are your interests and passions?
Oh, well, I'm currently a uni student. I'm about to go back to uni studying linguistics. Guess my passion, though, is musical theatre. Love acting, love singing. It's, you know, anything, arts, culture. I was trying to be an architect for a while. That didn't go anywhere. But, linguistics now. music, the arts, basically.
Oh, you sound multi-talented. Ken, obviously, probably everyone listening tonight has heard of Buddhism, and I have too, but Soka Gakkai is obviously a different type of Buddhism. How does that vary from mainstream Buddhism?
Well, first of all, we're a lay organization, so we're not really based on priests and things like that. As you know, monks, priests, that's what a lot of people would associate with Buddhism, but we're a lay organization. We're run by the members, you know, kind of like just a company might be. Mm-hmm. And we don't like the
so it's like
hierarchy of
So it's not hierarchy like of power, massive rigid structure.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of like I think Andrew was saying before. I think the quote's very apt: Buddhism for the people.
We were chatting a little bit before. How did you actually get into it?
Well, it's my family faith, and so my mum started practicing it years ago. It's a bit of a funny story. When I was born, she needed, she felt like she needed a faith or something, some sort of guidance, and she was introduced to the Soka Gakkai. She decided it was for her, and yeah, it's been the family faith ever since. So she tells people that I actually converted her when I was born. I've been practicing seriously probably since I was 18. It was a conscious decision made by myself. I went along to the meetings and decided, yeah, this is for me.
Fantastic.
Great. And I'm kind of interested in, I guess, from a little bit more of a personal level, like how would you define spirituality, like if you had to put it into words?
Yeah, that's a funny thing because, you know, a lot of people say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And I guess it's the search for something more, the search for something outside yourself, acknowledgement that there is something out there in the universe beyond just, you know, us people going around our everyday lives. There's some sort of force and some sort of order, you know, pervading the universe. So I like to think that's what spirituality is for myself. It's the search for that and, the search for answers and truths. Yeah. Mm.
It's an interesting statement you made earlier, Ken, because I say the same. One can be spiritual without being religious. Mm-hmm. But we're here tonight talking about, obviously, the Soka Gakkai, who are lay Buddhists. So as a Buddhist, as a lay Buddhist, again, you're comfortable saying you're not religious?
Yes. I believe that Buddhism, the Buddhism I practice anyway, is a philosophy, not really religion. We don't believe in a god or a god figure as a persona per se. We believe that religion, spirituality, all that's to be found within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. There's some commonality here with many other so-called religions, isn't there?
I think so as well, definitely.
Yeah.
Now you've brought along most of the music for tonight's show, which
this is Ken's music.
We're quite enjoying. We had previously listened to Rob Thomas, All That I Am. And you've brought along another track today by Dax Johnson.
Yes. It's one of his, he's a, jazz and classical pianist. I play the piano as well, and I find his work just beautiful to begin with. But he passed away a few years ago. He suffered from depression, a lot of these things, but his music was informed by that, and it's just deeply painful but beautiful at the same time.
Let's have a listen.
Hi, my name is Josh Thomas, and you're listening to Joy 949, which is, it's for gay people.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Poof and Bertie the Pom, and we've got a special guest here tonight, Kenneth. We're talking a little bit about SGI International, and if you'd like to join the conversation at some point, send us a text, 0427 Joy 949. On air at joy.org.au, or you can call James on the front desk. He's 1-300-JOY-949.
And for those of you who have just joined us, SGI stands for Soka Gakkai International, which is a network of lay Buddhists from around the world. And Ken is here telling us all about it. Now, you see, we're kind of Andrew the Poof and Bertie the Poof. We'll have to think of Ken the something. I think by the end of the show, we'll have to have a name for Ken.
We'll work on that one. During the track.
We'll work on that one. Now, fascinating so far. We've been hearing all about you, Ken, and how you came to join the Soka Gakkai following. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously about faith and practice and study, the three vital elements. Can you tell us a little bit more about the underlying principles of this faith?
Well, first of all, like you said before, faith, practice and study, that really lies at the core of what we do. Faith, believing in the Buddha's teachings, practice, that's our daily Buddhist practice, which involves chanting, praying, and then obviously taking that out into the everyday world. Practice is, prayer is nothing without action. Mm. And then studying the writings in the Lotus Sutra and the writings of our founding priest, Nichiren Daishonin.
Mm. Can you tell us more about the Lotus Sutra? What is it?
It's
not to be confused with the Karma Sutra.
No, not at all. I get that a lot. I say I believe in the Lotus Sutra, and they're like, "Is that anything to do with the Karma Sutra?" Not at all. A sutra is
not in any way,
not
shape
in any
or
way.
Form.
A sutra is basically a book or a teaching. It's an ancient Indian book
a
or
scripture.
A teaching. Yeah, scripture.
Yes.
The Lotus Sutra was the last one expounded by the Buddha. So he expounded many sutras, the Heart Sutra, the Diamond Sutra, and finally, when he felt that he was about to leave this world, he said, "I'm going to just talk, and if no one understands me, that's how it goes." And he expounded the Lotus Sutra, which is, we consider as SGI Buddhists, the deepest of all the sutras, and the closest to his actual enlightenment.
Mm, fascinating. Can I go back and ask you something that I've just thought of, something you said? Obviously, chanting is a big part of Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain time in the day you have to do it, or you just you find somewhere private and calm and you just go off and do it whenever?
Well, yeah, we like to chant once in the morning, once in the evening, to kind of kickstart our day. Mm-hmm. We go about our day and then at the end of the day reflect on it, give thanks. But it's not a hard and fast rule. Mm-hmm. Busy days might be lucky to get. Busy days might be lucky to get one lot of chanting in. But twice a day, most members strive to chant twice a day, and some of us get up at 5 in the morning to do it if that's what we need to do. Yeah, it really enlivens our day.
Because actually, one of my favorite celebrities. Is Tina Turner, and of course she discovered Buddhism, and that saved her when she was going through a complete crisis in her career.
That's
when
right.
She was leaving Ike. And she was being interviewed on US TV, I think it was Oprah, but anyway, and she was talking about the amount of time that she chants, and she was saying that the longer she chants, the deeper it goes for her, and therefore the more relaxing, the more therapeutic. Is that what you find as well, or can you just do a quick chant?
This busy day and age, a quick chant, probably what you get most days. But when I really want to reflect on something, when I'm really trying to overcome something in my life, I do find myself chanting maybe, an hour a day.
Wow,
is pretty
long.
Normal, yeah.
Gosh, and do you find you go into some kind of trance, level of trance? Or is it meditative?
Yeah, like a deep level of reflection is how I'd call it. It's not by magic or something. I'm a very, I like to believe in things that I can actually see. But I do find that my thinking becomes clearer. The problem kind of irons itself out, and I can see things for what they are.
Uh-huh.
Now,
before we go to your next track, I've got one more question for you. Now, I was reading your website with interest today, and I just want to read this a little bit because it's leading to my next question. Mm-hmm. It says on your website, the Lotus Sutra is also unique among the teachings of Shakyamuni.
That's
Did
right.
I pronounce
yeah,
that
Shakyamuni.
Right? In that it makes the attainment of enlightenment a possibility open to all people, without distinction based on gender, race, social standing, or education. Now, what it doesn't mention there is sexual orientation. So how does your faith community view gay and lesbian issues?
Well, that's... I've had to think about that, because, we've got we've got gay and lesbian practitioners who are out to the community, and and they're accepted. No one blinks an eye at them. But I guess underlying that is the Buddhist theory that of reincarnation, we were all reborn as male, female, animal, plant at some stage. So it doesn't really matter one life to the next. I think all that matters is the intent, and that love creates value.
Okay, it's refreshing to hear.
That is good. Now, you mentioned before, you mentioned somebody's a practitioner of your faith. How do you guys like meet as a group? Like, I don't know, I guess in my faith tradition, I would say that we would meet to worship in a church. Like, what does it look like for SGI?
Well, the very foundation of our meetings are the small group meetings. So we'll meet at a member's house, just, you know, regular house in the suburbs. They'll have gohonzon, which is the object of our devotion that we all chant while facing in their home. We'll do some chanting, and then it'll open up into a study meeting or a discussion meeting, quite like this one. We'll sit in a circle and talk about our struggles, about what we're studying at the time. Yeah, and then once a month we gather at our center. So here in Melbourne, we're lucky enough to have a center, and we gather there and we have a large chanting meeting, and then we hear some experiences, we hear some a seminar, and it's quite relaxed.
That sounds awesome.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
How many people would be in your small group?
Small group, my small group has about 6 people.
Okay. So you'd become quite close, and it would be quite an intense relationship with those small group of people.
That's right, yeah, and that's part of what drew me to the faith in the first place, because I was meeting with young people who were facing the same problems as me, and then being able to just share with them. And
okay, well, we're going to go to the next track now. Now, who have you chosen, Ken?
This is a piece by one of our members, Nestor Torres. He's a member from Puerto Rico, and he actually set our chanting to song. So, funny, we're just talking about chanting, but he set it to music. So, hopefully you enjoy it.
Well, let's have a listen.
You're on Joy 94.9, the Spirit Lounge, with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof, but we're without the Priest tonight. So, Andrew, the Poof.
You had to think for a minute, didn't you? You
were just trying to string it all.
How can you be a Pom? You can't. You don't sound like a Pom.
No, I don't sound very much like a Pom. And we have a special guest here tonight, Kenneth, here to talk with us about SGI, which is Soka Gakkai Buddhism.
International.
Yes.
Buddhism.
International Buddhism.
Welcome, Ken. Now, we were talking previously about...
we were talking a little bit about ways that you meet together with other people who share your same faith. Yeah. And you mentioned there's small group time where you meet with like a group of maybe 6 people. And there's also a time when you would meet with a larger group of people, kind of like a conference-y style thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us more about that. Like, what sort of things do you do in that worship time, and how does that work?
We'd meet about a couple hundred people. We meet at our center in Melbourne, which we're fortunate enough to have. The basis of that is the group chanting. Our faith is very strongly based in chanting. We chant the mantra Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, which it's the title of the Lotus Sutra, and it means... Nam is an invocation. Myo is the mystic law, the things that we can't perceive, or is how they have been, they manifest themselves in our world. Renge is the lotus flower, and it represents the simultaneity of cause and effect, so all causes have an effect, and Kyo is the sound that sends that out into the world. When we chant this as a group in our group meetings, we chant it alone at home, we believe that this is enabling us to reach a higher life state closer to enlightenment and, see our position in life more clearly. It gives us wisdom.
Ken, when you're chanting, is there any music involved or is it just literally the human voice?
It's just the human voice. We do ring a bell. That's a purely ceremonial thing. Just depending on whether you want to do it.
And other times when you all meet, what other kind of mediums are involved in your worship? Do you use music or film or dance, or is it purely chant-based?
It's purely chanting. We do have performances, within the meeting. We're part of the Value Creation Society, is we really enjoy the arts, and we cultivate music, dance, the arts. So, we'll have musical performances of which is music from the popular repertoire or the of secular music, basically. There's not really sacred music involved.
Can you tell us, are there any kind of major festivals that punctuate the religious calendar?
The year is punctuated kind of by events that mark, commemoration dates that mark events in the Soka Gakkai's history. New Year's Day is a big day for us. It's the day where we kind of make new determinations.
So it's kind of a little bit like making a New Year's resolution, but it's more focused.
A determination which carry out throughout the year, and then during the year we'll have commemorative days like SGI Day on January 26th. Women's Day on June 10th is a big day where we remember, where we commemorate and celebrate our women's division and all the good work they do for us. Just days like that. They're not really religious festivals, but more commemorations of important dates in the Soka Gakkai's history.
Okay. Fascinating. And in terms of your lifestyle, so you're a student and you're studying like mad, and are there any limitations, or does what you practice limit you in terms of diet, or does it suggest certain lifestyles that you should adhere to?
When people think of Buddhism, you might think of, being vegetarians, not drinking, not smoking. We're quite liberal. We're a Buddhism for the modern day. And we say, yes, you're free to, eat meat, drink, smoke, but you must accept the consequences for it. We believe that every action has a consequence. And so if you're going to disrespect your body, then you must suffer the consequences.
I mean, that's pretty much common sense, isn't it? Mm. A lot of the time. But it's, you have to act responsibly, really, don't you?
In what sort of ways have your faith and spirituality affected your actions in the wider community?
I think having the faith behind me, it gives me the strength to support a lot of my friends when they're facing their own struggles. And I find that a lot of my friends, when things aren't going quite right, they come to me and they ask for advice, and I never really saw it as a direct faith to help kind of relationship, but looking back on it, yes, it's having the faith behind me gives me the ability to see their situation and advise them.
You mentioned earlier that there's kind of no point in having a faith if there's no action
that's right
associated
yes.
to it. So you've kind of done a few things to live out your spirituality.
We live our spirituality through our lives. We don't see our practice as separate from everyday life. Like when you're chanting and when you're being a good Buddhist, and you go to work and you travel on the train, you're a good Buddhist throughout.
Yeah.
And the two aren't separate at all.
Yeah.
I was reading again. You know me. I do my research.
You do like the old Google machine,
don't you? I do. I'm now known as the Wiki Geek. wait till you listen to the show on a Tuesday. The Lotus Sutra, I was reading, is widely regarded as one of the most important and influential sacred scriptures of Buddhism. And it teaches... it affirms the realities of daily life in its teachings. And its key messages is that Buddhahood, which is quite an interesting word, Buddhahood, a condition of absolute happiness, freedom from fear and from all illusions, is inherent in all life. The development of this inner self state enables all people to overcome their problems and live a fulfilled and active life, fully engaged with others and with society. Now, that sounds a little bit utopian for me. What if someone, you know, is having a particularly tough time in life? How exactly can these beliefs help us when the chips are down?
We believe that that word Buddhahood is the potential of every person to become a Buddha. We believe that Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha, is no different from the rest of us. And through chanting, through correct actions, correct thoughts, we can all achieve that. And yeah, I guess when the chips are down, it's hard to see, it's hard to see Buddhahood as something that can be achieved. But we have this thing, we believe in the 10 worlds. Mm-hmm. And in the 10 worlds, there's hunger, this animality, this anger, and they're all life states that a person can pass through. But in all of those 10 worlds also is Buddhahood. Mm-hmm. And Buddhahood is... not separate from any of those. So when you're in the state of anger and you feel like lashing out and destroying things, that's also the state of Buddhahood, where you can kind of go, I'm angry, but how can I turn that anger into something productive, into something creative?
A positive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Now, look, we've got one last question, and then we've got another track from you, and then you can sit back and relax for the rest of the show. I was also reading that SGI is known for its many proposals for global peace and is especially outspoken on nuclear abolition. How effective are these proposals? Is SGI a voice that is heard by world leaders?
I think increasingly more and more as our membership grows. Mm-hmm. Here in Australia, we started off as quite a small congregation, but now we've got initiatives that deal with depression into the environment as well, a lot with, you know, with the weather events that have been occurring, all that. So we're talking a lot about the environment. And as our membership grows, we're finding, that local MPs, all that, have started attending our events more, started listening to us more. And we received quite a positive response from the community and from our...
I mean, that's got to be good. That's got to be good. Now, tell us about your next track.
Our next track is by a lady by the name of Yongchun Lamo. She's a Tibetan Buddhist, so not actually a Soka Gakkai Buddhist, but she was an exile from Japan, and the title... not from Japan, from Tibet. Mm-hmm. And the title of this track is Happiness Is. And I just love the quote which she puts in her cover notes. She says, "Often the things we think are making us happy in reality only give the slightest, most transient happiness. Ultimately, they have no essence and no meaning at all. There is a way of thinking, a way of living that has meaning, and is it is the happiness found on this path that we really should be searching for."
That's beautiful. Beautiful words.
I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell, and I'm a proud Joy member, number 285.
And you are with the Puff and the Pom and the panellist.
Good evening.
And we're missing the priest because she's up in Queensland helping everyone in the cyclone hit state. And we have just had the most fascinating 50 minutes with Ken Saw, who's been telling us all about the Soka Gakkai International Organization of Lay Buddhists. And brilliant stuff. Stick around, because we'd like to include you in the next 10 minutes before we all get kicked out of the studio. Now it's time for the Spirit Spa.
Spirit Spa. Yeah. Let's all get comfortable.
Right.
Strip off.
Take your clothes off.
Slip into the bubbles.
Now this week we are going to talk about Feng Shui, or as it should be pronounced, Feng Shui. Okay, now guys, what does that mean to you? Peter, the panelist, what does feng shui mean to you?
It's all about the energy of objects and how they're placed and how you need to enhance your life with the positive energy rather than take away from life with negative energy where you have things placed. So doors, maybe your favourite pot plant, maybe your favourite statue, tree.
Do you know, considering we've just put you on the spot, that is a pretty good response.
That's an excellent answer.
That's a really good
answer. You sure you didn't Google that?
Yeah, I know. He's quickly done it. Come on then, Andrew. What does it mean to you?
Quick answer is a good answer. I think it means about flow and placement. They're the two things.
And that's pretty good as well, actually. I'm surrounded by learned people tonight. Now, come on, Mr. Ken, what does it mean to you?
Feng shui, well, in Chinese, it's wind and water. So it's basically the balance between everything, the balance between wind, water, all the elements.
10 out of 10 for everyone. I'll go home now. No, I'm joking. I'm going to stick around. Feng shui is the ancient Chinese practice of configuring environments to promote health, happiness, and prosperity. And the goal of feng shui is to achieve harmony, comfort, and balance, first in one's environment and then in one's life. So it's absolutely right. And it can affect home, work buildings, interiors, cities, gardens, even things like aeroplanes. And, you know, I mean, any space that you want to take, it actually does affect in one way or the other. It was developed over 3,000 years ago. Feng shui uses the laws of both heaven, astronomy, and earth, geography, to help to improve our lives by achieving maximum harmony between the flow of energy between the place and its inhabitants, which in turn has an impact on our physical and spiritual well-being. So you guys have all answered that question so well. I think collectively we've done really well.
We had a very thorough answer for the first one, though. So...
So Ken's right. Feng means wind and shui means water. In Chinese culture, wind and water are associated with good health. Thus, good feng shui or feng shui came to mean good fortune, which is all very positive stuff. And I was looking into it. I mean, we could go on forever about this, but I've picked out two or three different types of feng shui. The most common being Ba Gua. Do you think I've pronounced that right? Ba Gua.
Sounds about right.
B-A-G-U-A. And it's one of the most popular, and it divides the home into different sectors, which are said to relate to the various areas of your life, such as work and relationships and health and family. And by placing the Ba Gua template over the floor plan of your home, you can then activate a particular area of your life by making subtle changes, including the use of colour and symbolism in the relative sector of your home. So, Peter, you were just right, you know, where does the pot plant sit? You know, what colour is the rug, which gets the morning sun, what gets the evening sun. It's all that kind of stuff. The second one I looked at is called, because they're all schools, these feng shuis are all schools, so this is called the form school, which is mainly to do with the landscape around your home. This is what I'm into because I'm into gardening. And if your garden and immediate exterior is unbalanced, this can have a negative impact on you. The forms include shapes, proximity to hills, water, roads, trees, bridges. So this style of feng shui also includes shapes of furnishings and the way in which they're placed in your home. So it's very visible, it's very tangible. So you've heard the phrase move a mountain. You know, you might have to go move a mountain, but of course you wouldn't. You'd have to move home, wouldn't you? and the next one I looked at was called the Eight House School. And this represents the eight directions divided into two major groups, east four houses and west four houses. And each house has four positive directions and four negative ones. And the eighth house looks at the placement of important rooms in the house, the direction in which you're sleeping. Are you, you know, is your head north, your feet south or east, west? That apparently, I've heard that before, it's really key to some people's sleep patterns and depth of sleep. And even things like the position of your cooker, for example, whether you're going to burn the house down or not, I suppose. But it focuses on the direction and interior mechanics of the house and how this suits people born to a particular year. So there's quite a lot of connectivity there. And the last one I looked at was called the Flying Star School. It sounds like a flying lesson place, doesn't it? It deals with time and space. It charts the energetic influences of your home, taking into consideration the impact of change over time. Now, I like this one because what is it they say? There's nothing as permanent as change. And it takes the age of the building and or occupancy into account, and the outcome of this chart indicates where the energies are within your home. Any change in life, good or bad, are referred to as periodic and not haphazard in the flying star system, which addresses this phenomenon by incorporating the time factor. I think this one is particularly cool because life evolves, your circumstances change, your mood changes, and, you know, yes, you have to change your house around. And how often, I mean, if you've lived in the same place for a long time, how often do you move all the furniture around?
You don't. You just let it stay.
I know, but I think we should.
Oh, I move my furniture. I'm a furniture mover.
Are you?
I definitely am.
So you're the flying star school pupil.
Must be all those years that I worked at a large furniture store. It's gotten me into moving furniture around.
Ken, do you move your furniture around, Ken?
Oh, I would if it wasn't so heavy. I've got a lot
for all.
This
is why you have to enlist your help of the housemate. That's what I keep them around for. Help me at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm just going to rearrange the sofa. Can you just grab that end for me?
So it sounds like, so Andrew, you're definitely the flying star school pupil.
Yes. Yeah.
And look, it's a very deep subject, and many practitioners advocate the flying star school because the world is in such a constant state of change. So there we are, guys. That's just a little bit on feng shui, which I found particularly interesting having a look at today.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with Bertie and Andrew, and today we've been speaking with Kenneth, a special guest from Soka Gahai Buddhism International. They do have a website if you're interested to know anything more about what we've been speaking about today.
Yeah, that's SGIAUST, so it's spelled AUST.org.au.
Excellent. Great. So have a look at that website for and more information.
We're also having a little bit of a discussion on our Facebook group. You'll be able to find us on Facebook if you just type in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. So if you'd like to join in, want to know anything more about what we've been talking about, we'll pop some links up there. Get into it. We'd love to hear from you.
We just want to thank David from Roville for his text message as well.
Yes. Thanks, David. We've got one more track. This one's a little bit along the lines of our feng shui, talking about living in an apartment.
I'm living in an apartment, never have before.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.